Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is officially football season, BT. You just heard Jerry mention it. The season gets underway tonight. Preseason, of course. But I'm in a football mood today. Finished up watching Hard Knocks last night. I thought it was fun. I thought it was unique and different. It could have been a lot better had it not been edited and controlled by the Giants. But two things that struck me. And again, we knew what happened, you know, over the course of the offseason. But to see it play out, it refreshes you a little bit. Two things struck me from the Giants' perspective and watching Hard Knocks. Number one, I love Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And they're easy to root for. Actually, I'll take it a step further. The entire organization, maybe you'd feel this way with every organization if you see them in that setting, like on Hard Knocks. But very easy to root for. The people behind the scenes that we don't talk about, the front office, the makings of it, the whole thing. So I can't wait to root for the New York Giants this year. The other thing, though, and this is the bigger issue, I just fundamentally disagree with how they went about building their team. I said it at the time, it's not about Malik Nabers, because Nabers could be the best player in the draft. He could turn out to be a stud. That's great. If you don't have a quarterback to get him the ball, it negates what a wide receiver could do. If you don't have the guys up front protecting the quarterback to have the time to throw the ball down the field, it negates what a wide receiver could do. So fundamentally, I just disagree with the way that the Giants went about building their team this offseason. I know why they did it. Mm-hmm. I understand it. It's not a knock on Nabers, but I would prefer to build inside out. And I feel like the Giants, and we got a good look behind the scenes at it, got caught up in the star power and explosive playmakers. And Joe Shane referenced that. Playmakers, playmakers, playmakers. Yeah, they did get a playmaker, but without the quarterback, without a good offensive line, it just doesn't work to me.
Well, I think it's not easy for Giants fans, but I do think it's probably easy to, because of the playoff win a couple of years ago, to just gloss over how much in shambles this franchise has been for a long time. I mean, in a lot of ways, the shine from the Giants franchise was just stripped away, and the organization was decaying. I mean, the Giants were always, along with the Yankees, you know, a fixture and symbol of success and stability outside of Billy Martin and George, you know what I mean? There was the guiding light in the New York sporting landscape here, and they lost their way. I mean, they were in the wilderness without a stick and without a match. It was ugly here. So I know maybe it's unconventional, but I've got no problem the way they're doing this, because if they didn't have a left tackle, which they do, he's one of the best in football.
Right.
If they didn't have multiple outstanding pass rushers, which they do, then I could sit here and say, all right, maybe they're neglecting two of the areas that you must, and obviously quarterback is paramount, but the other two areas, I get that.
Defensively, I'm fine, obviously. Not going to argue with Burns or what they've done.
Yeah, and Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. Well, and
you need to see a little bit more from Thibodeau, I think, this year.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's certainly, on the lowest level, he's at least validated being drafted inside the top 10. The one thing that he does really well, he does really well. Mm-hmm. So, like, listen.
And they're going to put him more in coverage this year, so we'll see. This will be a big year for Kayvon Thibodeau, especially with Burns.
Yes.
Should make things easier
for him. It should free him up a little bit here. But like, if I look at, you know, just a grease board, and I'm like, okay, how do I go out and how do I give myself a chance to not only be good this year, but be good for multiple years? Who's protecting my quarterback? Who's getting after the opposing quarterback? What corner do I have to lock down the opponent's number one receiver? And what guy do I have that I could put on the outside and say, go win the matchup and get us 30, 40 yards, get us in the end zone, just beat your man one-on-one? And right now the Giants have at least two of those four. And I believe what Malik Nabers, who I said the day after they drafted him, this kid's going to be the best player of the draft. I loved him going in. I love him now. I hear you. It seems a little non-direct or not linear without the quarterback.
Yeah, well,
I get that, but and this is where you and I fundamentally disagree. I don't love Daniel Jones. They'll never win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones. And next year, I don't think he'll be on the team. But I'd rather just push it forward one more year and be competitive than do something crazy and give up five first-round picks for a kid. I don't know if he could play.
Right, but the problem is that you don't know when you're going to be picking in that spot again. So now to get a quarterback, what are you going to do? Free agency? You're going to make a trade? Or you're going to trade even more to trade up from a position that you're deeper down in the draft? They had the opportunity there. And I'm not saying, we don't know exactly what it would have cost to get Drake May, but That, to me, would have been the right way to do it. You're giving up multiple picks, and he didn't want to do that, and that's fine. Joe Shane wanted to be conservative. Seems everybody now values prospects, values picks, as opposed to going four down. If they didn't believe in Drake May enough to do that, so be it. That's a different story, but they are kicking the can then down the road because they said, well, we can't get what we really want, what we really need, so let's just take an explosive playmaker, which kind of replaces Saquon Barkley. Not, obviously, mm-hmm. Person for person on the field or playmaker for playmaker, but Barkley was the star offensive player of this team. That was a bad offense, but he still was the face of the franchise. The owner said it. And then you have Malik Nabers, who's likely going to take that role, assuming he could actually produce for the Giants. But it's just not the right way to build the team. Whereas the Chargers, the pick ahead of the Giants, took Joe Alt. I know they have their quarterback a little bit different, but they could have taken Malik Nabers. If Malik Nabers was so important and transcending and, oh, we need to get a receiver, the Chargers got older receivers, they lost Mike Williams, whatever it may be, they could have taken Malik Nabers. But no, they said, we're taking Joe Alt. And we won't know until eight years, whatever it may be down the road as we look back at this. But I just believe more in what the Chargers did versus what the Giants did.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing, BT, by the way, when they did it with Odell Beckham Jr., where they could have had Zach Martin, they could have had Aaron Donald. Yeah, they did the same.
Well, there's a reason why the Giants have stunk. I mean, same for the Jets for the most part, because they just, you miss on things like that, it doesn't go away. Remember when the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase and the thought was they were going to take Penei Sewell,
right,
who went to Detroit, who's terrific.
Right. And look at how he's helped them out.
Detroit. Yeah, yeah. But look at how Ja'Marr Chase has helped out Joe Burrow.
Oh, well, but they have a quarterback.
But so did the Chargers.
I get it. Yeah.
So, I think the only thing to me that is complex about the direction of the Shane Daboll era is that it's year three, and to your point, they don't have their quarterback yet. But I'm still of the mindset, if you see a player, you got to be right. You better be right with this assertion of these assessments. If you see somebody that you think is going to be a top three, top four player at that position, let's face it, you can't score, you can't win. We could talk about pass rush and left tackle and this and punting and kicking and special teams and coaching. Do you have a guy who's a beast who's just going to slice up an opposing defense? When was the last time the Giants had that? Right. Outside of Odell Beckham.
But that's it. But that's great. But to me, that doesn't win football games.
But it does. Now, it doesn't win you Super Bowls unless you have the other requisite pieces.
What are we trying to do here? Like, look at the top receivers in the game. Or you look at the top teams in the game. A lot of times, the better teams don't even have the top receiver. And that's been going on for years. And I know the game's evolved and it's different. It's an offensive game. But still, we talk about Justin Jefferson. And oh my God, Justin Jefferson, what a stud. Yeah, he is a stud. That's great. What if the Vikings won?
Yeah, but that's one example. I mean,
let's see what the Bills
are this year without Stephon Diggs. The Bills won a lot of games because of Stephon Diggs.
They won games before Stephon Diggs.
Not as many.
They won games without Stephon Diggs.
That's not true.
By the way,
look what Tua has with the receiver. You think Tua,
who was the Giants,
without receivers, is getting that contract?
Who was the Giants' main weapon when they beat the Vikings in Minnesota in a playoff?
It was Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Well, running the ball.
Oh, okay. So how they beat the big, bad Justin Jefferson?
No, they beat the awful, pathetic Vikings defense.
Right, so the wide receiver doesn't mean anything then.
That's not true.
Yeah. What about Devontae Adams? How's he done with the Raiders?
I mean,
how have the Chiefs done since they let Hill go?
Well, I mean, listen, Sal, we could cherry pick all
it's
day.
A cherry pick.
No, it
you
is, though.
The biggest examples.
How'd Jerry Rice do? I mean, we could cherry pick all day.
Well, but he also had a full team.
What did Michael Irvin do for Troy Aikman? I mean, listen, I don't think there's a perfect way to build a team. But I think there's a smart way, okay? And I think
you trust Jim Harbaugh more?
Jim Harbaugh's been at this longer, so he's earned more trust, sure.
And he took Joe Alt.
Because he's got a quarterback.
I know that, but why wouldn't he then take the wide receiver like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? If he had the quarterback and he wanted to, oh my God, can't miss best player in the draft in Malik Nabers, why didn't he take him?
Because even me as a non-football person, if I've got the quarterback, and then I've got the choice of the receiver or the guy to keep my quarterback walking. I'm taking the guy who's going to have his back.
Right, but that's
everybody's
my point.
Doing that.
Building inside out opposed to, hey, oh my God.
But the Giants have a great left tackle.
Yeah.
See, that's why, Sal, think about this. When we started the conversation.
But their offensive line has been awful.
But I, I like what they did this offseason.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, we got to see it play out.
I understand that. They brought in two really good players.
A lot of people like the Evan Neal pick, too. How's that worked out?
He's horrible. Yeah. Well, they liked it on draft day. Mm-hmm. Nobody liked it once they saw him on film.
Right.
The two guys that they brought in, Runyon and I'm forgetting the other guy's name. Their film
line,
is good. Yeah, Luvador. And thank you. And Andrew Thomas is a stud. Like, if we were sitting here, let me put it this way. I'm going to cut it this way, the difference. Now, we fundamentally disagree to an extent. If the Giants, if we're going into the first full week of camp now, padded up, hitting each other, and the Giants have no left tackle, and they've got no pass rush, I would sit here and say they have zero chance to win. Now, I don't think the Giants are going to be very good this year in terms of a gaudy win total, because I don't think their offense will quite be up to snuff yet.
And why not?
Well, there's a few reasons. Number one, you lost Saquon. Number two, Daniel Jones
is
not
Saquon
it.
Saquon was minimal impact. And I love Saquon, but he was always hurt. And even when he was there,
he was their best player, though, Sal.
But why was he then negated? Because the offensive line stunk. So without the offensive line, it doesn't matter who you have. If you have Daniel Jones throwing the football and he's missing Malik Nabers down the field, or he doesn't have time to throw the football, and he's tucking it and running with it or whatever he's doing, throwing to the other team, fumbling, whatever it may be, then Nabers gets negated.
Well, we disagree. Listen, I don't think it's perfect. I don't think that this blueprint's perfect, but I also don't think that there's one blueprint to build. I mean, so 2 years ago, the Niners are sitting here. Do you think that they thought that their quarterback would be their quarterback for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years?
Which not.
He very well, exactly.
And traded for Trey Lance.
He was the last pick of the NFL draft. Mr. Irrelevant here. So, and there's always other ways to find quarterbacks, meaning once you move on from Daniel Jones, and they will, guess what? Whomever you bring in, whatever young player, whether it's the 5th pick or the 12th pick, you got a beast ready to get you in the end zone of Malik Nabers, who's got a couple of years under his belt. I'm okay with what the Giants are doing.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dwight is in Brooklyn. What's up, Dwight?
Yeah, how you doing, Sal and BT? I've been liking you guys for a long time. I never spoke to you, BT, but I've listened to you since you was with Stephen A.
Oh, nice.
I definitely agree with you with the Malik Davis thing. I believe, though, that with a great wide receiver, you can make an average quarterback good. I'm sorry. I definitely didn't want the Giants to pick that quarterback that New England. I think he's not going to be good at all. I think he's just going to be like the quarterback that from Alabama that New England took. I like the way that they did. Like you said, I think that because San Diego took Joe Alt because they had a great quarterback, and it was more important to keep him clean than to get another wide receiver. A great quarterback can turn an average wide receiver good. Yeah. And they can just pick a good average wide receiver, anybody. I've been watching the NFL since I was 7. Since Bob, I'm a Dolphins fan, and I go back way since Warfield and Greasy. And I like the way the Dolphins, I love us, but I'm not really a great Tua fan, but because we got Tyreek Hill and Waddle and we got Odell Beckham, I think they're going to make Tua real good this year. I just think we just need the offensive line to stay healthy.
I also disagree with that, Dwight. We appreciate you taking the time to call. We appreciate the support listening to the show. I don't think that a great receiver will make a quarterback better. Could he make things easier? Could he help out? Sure, I don't think he's going to hurt him, but I think you are what you are as a quarterback. You're not. Daniel Jones is not all of a sudden going to turn into John Elway or Joe Montana because he's got Malik Nabers now. Now, Tom Brady could make less than receivers better. Good quarterbacks or great quarterbacks can make decent receivers better. I believe that. Rodgers, I think, could enhance a receiver's production. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes.
Well, look at Lazard with Rodgers without him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I agree with that,
But I don't believe good receivers or great receivers even can make bad calls. Like, is there a receiver alive that can make Zach Wilson better?
Listen, I think I'm with you on that.
You know what I mean?
I do, but I do think what really does impact the quarterback is scheme. So I think a great scheme can make an average or slightly above average quarterback really good, like the Niners. You know, you have these exotic run schemes and guys running open all day. I mean, who can't make those throws? And then you mix in a player like Malik Nabers. And again, I've got to see it come to fruition, though I really think he's going to be a superstar. Now you got something cooking. So do you believe in Dable's scheme? I do. Do you believe in Nabers? I do. So that's two-thirds
of
the
equation. Where would you rank wide receiver on the list of importance as far as position goes in building an NFL team?
If it's first of all, off the top of my head, it is within the top five, okay?
Wow.
I'm going to give it to you in order. I'm going to give you, ready? I'm going to actually do this on the fly. Number one is quarterback.
Yeah.
Number two is left tackle. Number three is pass rush. Number four is corner. And number five would probably be, I mean, you could go, I was going to say like that seam stretching tight end. I'm talking about the modern NFL or receiver. Quarterback, left tackle, pass rush, corner, and receiver.
Yeah.
Those are my five.
And receiver would be fifth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so even with that.
But they already got a few of those.
Yeah.
So they got a left tackle.
Quarterback.
They got a pass rush.
Quarterback, offensive line, edge. I mean, to me, even linebacker would be up there, whether it's a leader of a defense.
Yeah, a linebacker's the 80s.
Shutdown corner, you mentioned. What do you mean linebacker's the 80s?
Come on, linebackers.
Yeah. Yeah.
No pass rush. I mean,
no, I have edge.
No, but I'm saying, like, linebackers, to me, I think that's kind of romanticizing the game. I'm not saying that they're not important, but
I think it's more important to have if you were to have a leader as a linebacker. Bobby O, look at the difference he made for the Giants team this year.
That was a good signing.
Yeah, okay.
That was a good signing.
So what? I mean, did Darren Waller do more for the Giants or Bobby O?
Well, Waller was hurt. That's a horrible example.
Well, even when he was healthy when he was here.
They got him.
Yeah. Oh, but they bring in a weapon. Oh, Darren Waller's supposed to be a weapon. No. And you would say, well, the modern NFL, you want a tight end that can stretch the field, look at his length, all this different stuff, create the seam. And Bobby O, nobody makes a big deal about, but he changed that Giants defense. Linebackers, to me, still important. I just don't think wide receivers are that important. I get why people love them. I get why you want to have one. It's nice to have one. It's not a key part of building a team. It, to me, is a luxury. Ray, and not necessity to have a winning team. Ray is calling from Babylon. What's up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It's August 1st. I'm Ray from Babylon, and I'm going to declare that the Giants will stink in 2024 and 25. You know why?
Why?
Because they're panicking. The entire moves that they've made with Daniel Jones panicked. They gave up the farm for this guy, and I know they got the ad after 2 years, but nevertheless, they panicked. He's not worth what they paid him. And Malik Nabers is another panic move. He's literally putting the cart before the horse. How do you – and the world is upside down when the Giants can take a cue from Joe Douglas, because what did he do? He built up an offensive line the entire offseason, and now the Jets actually have a competitive chance to win 11, 12, 13 games. So the Giants will stink. They have to stink because there was no game plan other than panicking by drafting Malik Nabers because he was the most talented player in that draft.
See, right to me, panic would be and thanks for the call. Like the way this played out, now you can say it's the wrong move. You know, Sal wouldn't have drafted a receiver. That's his opinion. I disagree, but it's certainly, you know, a fair conversation.
Well,
point.
You also have to say what you would have done. That's what I was going to ask Ray there, but we could just imagine, like, would you have traded down? And the Giants want to roll these options. Would you have traded
up? They did.
Up?
Well, here's the thing. I was going to take issue with his usage of the word panic.
Yeah,
me too. Panic to me is when you are not prepared, when somebody in front of you does something that you don't necessarily expect and you've got no plan B. It was incredibly apparent from jump that the Giants love Malik Nabers. Even before they took him. So, that's not a panic. That's staying true to your board and having a good plan.
I don't think it was panic, but was it trying too hard to replace a face of the franchise offense?
I don't think offensively? So. I don't think so. I know that it's a convenient way to put, all right, you lose Saquon. Who's going to take the juice on offense?
But they kept talking about it.
Yeah, well, I get it. I get it.
Want playmakers.
But because you need them.
Yeah.
But it's like saying, you know, I need, it's funny, we're talking about Clay Holmes and the Yankees, I need
too.
A bullpen. Well, yeah. I mean, there's certain things in sports that you need. In the NBA, they ain't got to rebound a little bit like, if you want to win. You know, in football, you need playmakers. They have none once Saquon walked out the building. They got none.
And by the way,
now they do.
He credits Joe Douglas there for building it, you know, with the offensive line. Joe Douglas tried to trade up or at least called the Giants when they were on the clock at number six. And I don't think Joe Douglas was calling up there to take alignment. Like,
Joe.
Yeah, Joe Douglas. They muted it out. They didn't have what Douglas said. But I would assume.
What do you think he was trying to do?
Get Nabers.
Yeah, I don't think so.
What was he trying to do with six?
I don't know. I don't know. That confused me too.
It would have to be trading up for Nabers.
I don't know if it would be Nabers.
Who went? What was the behind him? Well, we'll come back and we can look at it. We got to take a break here. We'll come back and then look it over. I assumed. Now they got multiple calls. They got a call from the Colts.
Yep.
But Shane wanted to sit tight, and then they got a call from the Jets, and Shane said, I think we're going to stay put.
Because they love Nabers.
Correct. And I believe that, I would just think, now we can look at the draft again and see how it plays out. I forget exactly the way it was, but remember the Jets were rumored to be in on Bowers.
Yes.
For the right
tight
receiver.
End.
Yeah, or a receiver was a thought at the time. I think it could have been for Malik Nabers as well. So it's not a knock on Nabers. I have no idea how he's going to pan out in the NFL. He may be great, just like Odell Beckham Jr. was when he was with the Giants. But I hated that pick because they didn't build inside out then. That's why I don't love the pick now. I like Shannon Dable. I want to root for the Giants. I just don't believe in the way that they're building a team. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019 on the Fan.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just a second. We're talking Giants here. So, BT, just pulling up the draft this year,
mm-hmm.
the only players that it could have possibly been would have been Roma Dunze.
Yep.
J.C. Latham.
Okay.
Or Nabers, because Penix went in there, but the Jets weren't taking him. McCarthy went, I'm talking about before the Jets.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't taking him. Jets traded down from 10 to 11, is that right?
Yeah,
Vikings traded up to get him.
Yes,
anyway,
one spot.
So it was either Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, especially knowing that I wouldn't think it was J.C. Latham, would you, from Alabama?
No, I don't think it would have been him.
So, and then of the two, what do you think?
I mean, I like Malik Nabers a lot better.
So it would probably, I would assume it probably was the Jets trying to trade up to get Malik Nabers in that particular spot.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things I love about Hard Knocks. I mean, I do. And I know that the Giants had editorial control over content, although their draft board was leaked. I know you saw that, like who they favor, who they flagged as maybe suspect character.
What do you mean it was leaked?
They have it color-coded, and usually they blur that stuff out so they don't want to, you know, put anybody on blast.
Right.
And it actually, I guess, in editing, I don't know if that's the Giants or HBO, whatever, but you've got all the names on the board that were taken in the actual draft and based on a code that the Giants established for either somebody we love, somebody that we're not sure about their mm-hmm. character, or somebody with injury history. It's denoted by a certain color like purple or
orange.
And
how do we know? Did it say?
It's you can just look at it. It's staring at it. Right. So basically, everybody out there knows, I'm not coming up with a great example right now, but, you know, player running back from Indiana University.
Yeah.
You know, Giants flagged him as an injury threat, or maybe more damning or demeaning would be a character flaw. A lot of that stuff is out there.
One other thing that I didn't like, speaking of that board, I don't like and I understand in certain circumstances you have no choice, and it is the best play, to let the board come to you, essentially. You, same thing with the ball. Don't let the ball play you.
Yeah.
Don't let the board play you. You take control of the board. I'm doing this. I want to do that. Aggressive moves here. Now, there's only so much you can do. I understand that.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah, but teams do it. I mean, you could sit back and be like, okay, well, this is what happened in this spot. Or you could say, I need this player. And it doesn't have to be the first round. It could be the second round.
Yeah. Well, Joe Douglas has been very good at that. Yeah, that part. Like the middle round picks moving up. And
he's aggressive.
He's very aggressive.
He plays the board. He doesn't let the board play him.
True. And the Jets and the Giants for years now have been in a pretty good spot where, even though it hasn't really worked out in terms of the record, where they've been so bereft of talent, not on the defensive side of the ball last year for the Jets, but in large part encompassing both teams, where you could pick almost anybody and get away with justifying it. Like, well, all right, we need a pass rush. All right, we need this.
Well,
all right, we need that. All right, that's why I'm not criticizing the Giants for the Nabers pick. I do love it. I get it. The Giants are very strange. They have a strange existence right now. They've got this great history, you know, that they've gotten away from, but they had a little blurb, like a little snippet of success 2 years ago. Then they regressed a year ago. They've got a quarterback not everybody loves. Very few people fully believe it, including both of us. We don't think he's a Super Bowl quarterback. But it's not an incredibly punitive deal, so we all know he's highly probably, you know, going to be gone next year. You know, you like the coach, you like the GM, but you still don't have the quarterback. It's just
I don't know if he's going to be gone next year.
Interesting stuff going on with the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know if Jones is going to be gone next year. I have no idea.
He'll be gone. If he doesn't play well, he'll be gone. 100%. 100%.
Who's going to replace him?
Well, I don't know.
It's the same way they're saying now, like, who's better? Who's better than Daniel Jones? Who are they going to get to replace him? They're going to draft one, just throw a rookie out there, whatever pick they have. What if Daniel Jones and the Giants have some success like they did a couple
Define
years ago?
Define some success.
9, 10 wins?
9 or 10 wins.
Make the postseason.
All right.
Even if they lose a postseason game.
Mm-hmm. You know, the next question would be how...
Throws, you know, Neighbors has 10, 12 touchdowns, whatever it may be.
And how influential is Daniel Jones and all that? I imagine he's going to be pretty decent if they win 10 or 11 games.
Okay.
So are you talking like 20-something touchdowns? You're talking, you know, 15 like a couple of years ago.
No, let's say he throws for 20.
You know, see, I just don't think he's going to be the same guy. He's not going to run. I know he's in camp and he's got no restrictions. He's not running wild with that knee reconstructed. And Daniel Jones, without tucking it and running, is not the same guy. So he's not going to have a big season, I don't think.
BT and Sal on the fan. Matt is calling from Mattisquan. What's up, Matt?
Fellas, how we doing?
How are you, Matt?
Hey, Matty.
doing good. So I kind of look at it almost similar to like what the Jets did a few years ago with Wilson, you know, like drafting Garrett Wilson. They didn't have the quarterback, but, you know, like what you said earlier, BT, they needed playmakers. The Giants had no playmakers last year outside of Saquon. Even if you don't keep Daniel Jones after this year and, you know, you find a quarterback at free agency or trade or draft or something like that, you know, if everything goes according to plan with Neighbors, you already have the bona fide number one receiver on your team to either help out a younger quarterback or, you know, for a veteran to, you know, already have that guy to go to. You know, they needed a playmaker. I think it was, you know, he was the best player from watching Hard Knocks. He was the guy that they wanted all along. So, I don't know. I think I'm okay with it. I think if nothing, you know, even if they have a little bit of success and Daniel Jones gets his act together, then they could take that again into, you know, next year. So I think it was the right move for them.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Matt. And I'm not saying that Neighbors is going to be a bust. I'm just saying that I don't like the way the Giants are going about building their team. Like, for me, and I don't even know if trading down in this particular case would have been the right move. Obviously, they contemplated that. But they felt drafting Neighbors was more valuable than trading down. To me, the move was trading up. That would have been the move.
And doing...
Going to get Trey
and getting May 100%.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I love May. Like, I'm not a professional scout.
Yeah.
But I know that they need a quarterback. It is a quarterback-driven league. You can talk about playmakers all you want. Without a good quarterback, you won't go anywhere.
You're not going too far. All right, so let me ask you this here. All right. Now, yeah, I mean, I
they just, want. They clearly, to some degree, wanted to.
No question.
So I'm not just pulling this out of thin air.
No, like, they're not. No, they like Drake May. They really, right. I think they were borderline enamored with him. Here's the thing, though. Now, I long ago gave up. I don't know what the hell these kids are going to be. Like, right. I just stopped guessing.
They don't, so certainly we don't.
100%. Yeah. This is their job, right. And they scour film, and they talk to their high school coaches and psychology. If they don't know, we don't know. All right, so nobody's trying to fool anybody here. But what I do know is that if they were fully convicted, fully, like, all the way, he's Peyton, or he's Eli, or he's whomever,
mm-hmm.
They would have gone the extra mile and given up the extra one or two to make it happen. The fact that they were reluctant to do that tells me that they were a little hesitant, a little caught between. They liked him. They weren't in love with him. And at that point, go with somebody you're in love with. Because if you give up five first-round picks or four, whatever, and Drake May's not the guy, you're cooked for a decade.
Understood.
And that's 20 years of irrelevance.
Understood, but at least you're taking a chance. Now, I don't know. You're assuming.
But it's got to be a calculated risk.
You're assuming. How do you know that they didn't love him, but they loved him, but they just were scared to go all the way in?
Well, then they didn't love enough. If you love, you love. You're going. Nothing's stopping you.
Well, Ernie, of course
did it stop
he did
Ernie
it.
Corsi?
No, but
because he loved Eli.
But he
loved
did
him.
It. Yeah, okay.
They like him. Loved him.
And a lot of people were questioning that pick.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. He was right.
Even after it was made during regular seasons.
But it doesn't matter. He was right.
Well, in the end,
his conviction paid off.
And I will say that, I'll take it a step further. Even if Eli didn't win the two Super Bowls, I still believe it was the right move at the time because of Corsi loved it. He loved it and believed in it, and he went in and made the right move. Now,
I agree
it worked
with that.
Out in their favor, obviously, but if I'm hiring a general manager to do the job here, I want him to do what he believes in is best, not be afraid to take a chance. So I don't know the answer if Joe Shane really loved Drake May.
You do, though.
I think he wanted them. I just think he was, in today's world, and maybe with the owner, or Mara made it very clear, I don't know, I get uneasy thinking about that. That's a big risk. You're putting your you-know-what on the table there.
Yeah, that's right. But Mara also said, I'm letting these guys do their job, which maybe not everybody believes. I do in this situation. I believe that they've got the latitude to do whatever they want. Now,
what's the safer thing, though?
this. Well, it's not to me. It's not about safety. It's about right thing. Yeah. I'm not looking to play the safe. I'm looking to get off this treadmill of winning 7-8 games.
The safer
and
move,
win something
though,
for real.
The safer move is giving the team a playmaker, taking the stud who you believe is going to be a great wide receiver, and punting on going all in for the quarterback. They didn't take, but sometimes with high risk comes high reward.
For sure.
They didn't take the shot. I don't know. I'd love to get that answer. We're never going to get that answer, honestly, I don't think, until years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you want Drake May? They clearly had interest. You're not going to trade up from 6 to 3 and give up whatever they were willing to give up anyway if you didn't love the player. You're not just doing that just to take a quarterback.
But that's why they didn't do it.
No. But they were willing to do it to a certain extent.
I agree.
The Patriots wanted more than that.
And then they deemed it reckless. And right. I got to respect that.
Right, but
what I'm saying is if they were all in, I don't mean 85% or 82%, which is what it kind of seems, on Drake May, they would have gone the extra mile.
Right, but BT, if you're willing to give up, let's just say, 2 1s and 2 2s, which Joe, I don't even know the exact
I got
thing.
You.
I forget.
Some crazy.
Yeah, they were willing to give that up for Drake May. Like,
They
weren't just looking for a quarterback because they could have taken Penix or McCarthy.
Correct.
They didn't want that. May was the guy that they wanted.
Yes.
That was the guy. Obviously, they probably would have taken Jaden Daniels.
So
they figured, okay, well, we would take Drake May. We'd be willing to give up multiple first round picks and multiple two, whatever it may be. But they draw the line at like 4 first round. I don't understand. If you wanted to trade up for him, because you loved him.
Well, there's always
why
a limit.
Why not just go the extra mile?
Well, there's
for
always
him.
A limit in negotiations. The Yankees stopped at, you know, 3 to whatever the money was for Yamamoto.
Yeah.
There will be a point where the Yankees will stop with Soto. There might be a point where the Mets stop with Soto. Like, there's always a point of delineation where it goes from
right, but somebody,
I'm all in to now it's just wildly irresponsible.
But somebody goes all in.
Well,
like the Dodgers.
But nobody went all in this year because nobody moved up to take Drake May.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody wanted to do that, but the Giants were the team that needed it the most. And,
sure.
And they had the opportunity to do it. They didn't do it.
Because they don't love him. They like him.
They're going to need a quarterback at some point. So you can talk about the wide receiver, the new shiny toy. At some point, they're going to need a quarterback. Trey is in Morristown, New Jersey. What's up, Trey?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Question, Sal, you keep saying they should have built from the inside out, but isn't that the reason Saquon's not on the team, because they addressed that in free agency?
Meaning what? What do you mean? Address running back?
When they added 3 linemen in free agency already, so they didn't pay Saquon, went that route, so now the line's taken care of in free agency and you can go get neighbors.
Is the line taken care of? I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, we've heard about that. We thought it was taken care of with Evan Neal when they drafted him. I mean, so we got to see it play out.
Yeah, I mean, they got 2 top 10 picks, a second round pick, and 3 free agents. The best line they've ever had with Daniel Jones as quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see. Again, they haven't set foot on the field. So
yeah, but two of the players have played in the NFL already.
Okay.
And they've got good tape. Yeah. Actually, 3 of them, pardon me, to Andrew Thomas.
Okay, so then they should be beat.
Ryan's
so then why
good.
Is everybody saying the Giants aren't going to be any good then? If their offensive line is so good, and thank you for the call, Trey, and they've got the best wide receiver that they could possibly get, and they traded for an elite pass rusher, and they have Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
and they replaced McKinney in the secondary, you know, young pick. If the Giants are so good, then why are we holding them to like, they should be what, 7-8 wins, 6 wins maybe?
No, it's only because the other teams have more talent.
Who?
The Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles to start with.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
Oh, the Cowboys may be taking a step back. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure sitting here on August 1st, Giants are the third best team.
But that's just 2 teams in the division. It doesn't always work out like that. But if the Giants' offensive line is as good as everybody's saying, then they should be
better. Well, I don't know that anybody's sitting here saying that it's, you know, David Deal and O'Hara and Chris Knee. I think what we're
starting to,
I mean, I'm not saying that it can't be.
Right.
But what I think we're starting to say is, for the first time in a long time, it's got a chance to be functional.
Right.
Like, beyond functional.
Okay.
Everything else went haywire, man. When you don't even have a second or 2 to decipher what's in front of you, you can't win. At least now, at least the Giants, again, on paper.
Right.
And
so we're
really
trusting the Giants with the moves that they made in the offseason.
The 2 players that they brought in free agency, along with Andrew Thomas,
right.
I mean, they've got at least 60% right there of an above average. And in Thomas's case, he's one of the 2 or 3 best tackles in football in the NFL.
Who drafted Evan Neal?
The Giants.
Yes, Joe Shane did. And how'd that work out?
We got grumpy Sal today.
No, I'm just
to fight you here for 4 hours.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, they drafted.
Sal's a little grumpy today.
I'm not grumpy.
Hey, let's go for what it is.
Yeah.
Sal's a little grumpy today.
No, I do just want to say that, okay, well, if everybody believes the Giants have a good offensive line and Neighbors is a stud and it can't miss pick, then they should be better than what people are projecting them to be.
Well, maybe they will be.
And if they're not, what would be the reason they're not?
I can't possibly answer that because there's too many variables.
Well, but there's a clear one.
Well, one could be injuries.
Yeah, okay.
And you want me to say Daniel Jones? Well,
I mean, that's the answer.
He was pretty good in 2022. Yeah,
okay, so then he should be good again because everything's set up for him. He's actually got, as the caller just said, he's got his best offensive line. He's got his best weapon with Neighbors. I smell Super Bowl. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to the Jets in a little bit. You think I'm feisty now? Let's get to that.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packers 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Turning point of the game contest, Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. BT and Sal on the field. We'll get to the Jets coming up in a little bit. We're working some baseball as well. It's fun to be in for Evan and Tiki yesterday during the afternoon show. We had Brian Cashman on, so we could talk about that as well, BT, for our regular listeners here during our time slot that maybe didn't hear it or get a chance to find out about that. We could talk about that a little bit later on as well. We're talking about the Giants so far today. And it's not that I don't believe in them, because I do. First of all, I want to root for the Giants. That is very clear after watching Hard Knocks. I root for the Giants anyway, but just to see them in Hard Knocks, very likable group of people, not just Shane and Dable, but everybody else.
Ownership. I agree.
I thought they came across very well.
I agree with that.
So it's easy to root for, and I'm going to get behind the Giants this year, maybe even more so than normal. I just fundamentally don't agree with the way that they're building their team, meaning I would have preferred to put more of a premium on building the offensive line. In this particular draft, I would have gone up and tried to trade for Drake May. I know that they tried but didn't go all the way in. Sometimes that's what it takes to get the job done. You got to go all the way in. It's not a knock on Neighbors. And then there's some thought that, well, the offensive line is going to be the best that Daniel Jones has ever had. Neighbors the best weapon that Daniel Jones has had. But yet their win total is what? You have it, BT?
I'm seeing 6.5 right here.
Expected win total 6.5.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that tell you that? And by the way, they trade for Burns. Like, I think their defense should be good.
I think their defense could be very good.
So if the defense is very good,
yep,
and their offensive line is better, and they have their best playmaker, all due respect to Saquon Barkley, Neighbors should be more impactful because of the better offensive line and because of the way the game has evolved, where a running back, you know, can be minimized in today's game.
Well, I mean, I don't want to nitpick. I mean, usage rate, I could start throwing. I mean, Saquon was used so much. He was a threat.
Right, but their offense did nothing.
I know. Like, I mean, anyway, finish your point.
My point is that, okay, well, if they have all these things in place,
yeah,
why is their win total, their expected win total, only 6.5?
Well, I'd have to see their strength of schedule. I mean, that kind of plays into it for a game or so. The division's tough. The Eagles are very talented, obviously very talented. Dallas, even though they always fail when it matters, Dallas is talented. The Niners are a beast out there. You know, the NFC's pretty interesting.
Doesn't mean they can't exceed it.
Well, what was their projected win total in 2022?
Right.
It wasn't good. I don't know.
I mean, it might have been similar, but also it's not like, Now, again, whether you exceed it by a couple of games, usually those things are within a couple of games. But could they far exceed it? Sure. I do feel like 6.5 is extremely low.
It's low. There's a couple that are like 4.5. So let me ask you
this.
Matter
of fact, I probably will take the over.
It's close.
Rooting purposes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, yeah, of course. I thought you meant real money. I mean, I want to see if, you know, is it plus one? Is it minus? I mean, are you laying? What's the juice on that?
Yeah.
If we're going to actually, you know, get into that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, that's sort of weeds.
Usually the juice on those things are bad.
Yeah, well, that's why I'd like to see what it is. If I was going to bet that, I'd want to see what it is. All right, so let me ask you this way. Let me incorporate the Jets for one moment here. All right, so the Jets right now are over there over 9.5. All right, so do you think it's more likely that the Jets, who most people perceive to be very good, and despite them being the Jets, and most people perceive the Giants to be down, is there a greater chance, in your opinion, that the Jets win fewer than 9.5 games, or the Giants win more than 6.5 games?
I think that's a great question.
Let's go. It's football season.
For the record, I will probably bet both overs just to have the action and want to root for both, and it gives you a little extra, you know, extra juice there. So if I had to pick both, I would go over.
I'm talking about money that's going to dent your account and have you chasing for for 5 weeks. Where's that money going? Jets under Giants over?
I cannot put that money on the Jets to go over 9. 10 wins is a lot, especially for this group. I mean, all kidding aside, when was the last time the Jets won 10 games?
I think it was Todd Bowles's, I believe it was Todd's first year, if I'm not mistaken, where they lost that last game down up in Buffalo.
So think about it.
And didn't make the playoffs. It was Fitzpatrick, I'm pretty sure.
One thing goes wrong. And again, if I had to bet it, I would go over. But I could not. If I was forced to bet one, I'd probably take the lower win total and hope to exceed expectations even with it. Like, what did the Giants end up with last year? How many wins did they have last year?
Six or seven?
Yeah. So think about it. Everything went wrong for the Giants last year. I mean, they had to go to Tommy DeVito to be their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went wrong for them. They're better on paper this year. And even if certain things go wrong for them, they still should be able to get to bare minimum where they were a year ago. That's why I would go.
I think you're simplifying it. Here comes the first mush. You ready? I think that is easy money with the Jets.
Oh, boy. You're asking for it. Can you imagine you and I going through another year together of just extreme disappointment for the Jets?
No.
Me neither. Like, I really do. I just hope that, like, nobody. Okay, we don't need Super Bowl, though. That's what we want, sure.
Well, speak for yourself.
No, I know what you mean. You take somewhere in between Rodgers going down on the first play of the game versus Super Bowl. Like, just give us a season, go to the playoffs, have some excitement, have some possibility.
Jets schedule is pretty easy, too. And I know it's the easiest, you know, win-loss. I get it. But, you know, outside of that Niners game to start, I mean, there's a chance that the Jets rip off 5-6 wins in a row. I mean, look at the schedule.
And what do you think they end up with? I feel like we did this.
I think the Jets are going to be 12-5.
Okay.
12-5-ish. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
And I'd say the Giants for me right now.
Giants are going over the 6.5.
I'd say 7-10. That's what I feel.
Let's paint worst case, though, for each team. Or not even worst case, just like significant injury. Like if to whom? Well, let's say Daniel Jones. Let's start with him. If Daniel Jones misses significant, not the whole year, but let's just say he misses time. Do you think that impacts the projected win total significantly enough?
No.
Me neither, right? So that's the point. Let's say Jones goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll still
Drew Locke, DeVito, together.
I still think they should be able to piece something together to get to 7 wins.
In the neighborhood.
Whereas if Rodgers misses...
it's curtains.
You see what I'm saying? More has to, now it's a higher number, obviously, so it makes sense.
And better with Tyrod, better equipped to win than with Zach Wilson.
Certainly.
But
like, still.
Even if Rodgers were to go down for the whole season, I still think the Jets are the last game of the season. I think they're playing for something. They got a lot of talent, man. I know it's a dangerous thing to say because, they always hurt us. I mean...
I know, you have to believe
the
in it.
The Jets' talent is really, really high.
And that's the only way to say it. Their talent going into the year, like, who knows how it's going to pan out. Same thing we say for the Giants' offensive line. Okay, well, their offensive line on paper seems improved. Neighbors, the best weapon that Jones is going to have. Everything seems to be improved. Bringing in Burns should make for a better defense. Will it play out? That's the key.
But I start with this, right? When you look at both teams, I say, all right, is there a viable path to win the division? And for me, with the Giants, the answer is no.
Right.
And for the Jets, the answer is yes.
Well, viable, because you could say if it were just the Cowboys, maybe. If it were just the Eagles, maybe. The fact that it's both, odds are you're not going to be better than both those teams to that extent. Whereas the Jets, are the Jets the favorites to win the division?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they're right there with my, I think they're co-favorites maybe with Miami.
That's going to be nasty.
That'd be good.
Jets-Miami is going to be back on. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Mitchell's in Queens. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey guys, how you doing? Good morning. Good. I thought you made a real good point before about one of the most important positions in the NFL of that tight end position. Like, if you look at what George Kittle and Sam LaPorta specifically have done for those two offenses, and they help them out so much. Now, granted, those are teams that are stellar franchises and that they hit on picks outside the first round, which actually makes you a good team. But there is nothing that replaces in the modern day NFL of a guy who you can rely on for 70 balls, who can break tackles and make stuff happen in the passing game.
It's amazing, and it's a good point. And Mitch, thanks for the call. You know, I've said and I've joked, but man, it's not really funny. It's more painful admission. Like, there's two NFLs, really. There's the NFL that we've been subjected to watching the Jets and the Giants for the last 10 years. And then there's the fun NFL.
Right.
You know, where you bet the over and you have, you know, 5 or 6 fantasy players. I got this running back. I got this receiver. I got this tight end. I've got this quarterback. Like, the Jets and the not only had they not won, okay, but they have been so pedestrian.
They can't move the football.
Oh, my God. How many times do you look up, it's 7-3, like that. Bang. Just snap your finger. First half is over. Tick, 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 run.
It just feels like an impossibility to score a friggin' touchdown.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways that changes, back to the way we started the show, is you draft somebody like Malik Nabers.
I do think that as far as that aspect of things, we as a New York football fan base should have much more entertaining games, to say the very least. Because far too often in the last, 5, 10 years, whatever it may be, non-competitive on Sundays. And you can't even score.
I know, dude.
Sean is in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
How are you, Sean?
What's up, bud?
Pretty good, man. I think the Giant... I got a couple things, if you guys don't mind. I think the Giant win total is at 6.5, mainly because it's Daniel Jones. Whatever he does is basically boom or bust for the Giants. Because I do believe they really did have a plan and address the O-line. Because they actually got 3 new starters now because they signed Van Rotten from the Raiders as well. So now you got your whole right side has continuity because Illuminor and Rotten is going to be probably right tackle and right guard and then Runyon to go with Schmidt and Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Giants did make a couple changes, but the projection is because we don't know what Daniel Jones is going to do.
Right, but that's my point, Sean, and thank you for the call. So you could talk about great offensive line. You could talk about the big weapon. This is, to me, the best thing about this season with the Giants. After this season, there should finally be no more excuses for Daniel Jones because I'm tired of it. I've been tired of it for literally years, tired of talking about Daniel Jones and arguing with Giant fans about is he good, is he not. There are no weapons, no offensive line. Well, there is no excuse. Can we all at least agree? Let's all come together and agree. No more excuse. The offensive line should be better. He's got the weapon in Nabers, the big weapon, amongst others. And Wondell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, whatever it may be. This is it, right?
I hope so. I hope so.
How could it not be?
It's got to be. It is. That's why they set the contract up the way they did.
And you could kind of get this feel by watching the Hard Knock Show or even just common sense. Like, they are like, all right, basically, here you go.
Like they said it.
That's what I mean.
They said it straight up. You know, no disrespect, but it's business. They were looking.
Right. But if we couldn't do what it takes to get that quarterback, here you go. We're gonna build the offensive line the best that we could.
Yeah.
Whether it works out or not, who the hell knows. But on paper, everybody's in agreement now that the offensive line's better and should be good enough. No more, they didn't do an offensive line help for Daniels. Let's see it. And they have Nabers. So let's see what happens.
I appreciate their transparency because, you know, don't tell us what we know. They were honest. And, you know, they're looking for a quarterback, but they're not going to do anything dumb or short-sighted, and they didn't. They looked into doing something that they were intrigued by. The asking price was through the roof. They deemed it cavalier. That's what smart teams do. You got to know when to jump in. You got to know when to walk away. And, you know, next year we're sitting here. Do I think Jones is on the team? I don't.
Well, I don't even want to say I hope that that's the case. If he plays well, maybe he deserves to be here. I don't know. I don't know if I could take much more of it. But at least if they have success, that's fine. You got some breaking news, Jer?
Yeah, something like that. I saw my guys over at ML Football breaking that Tariq Cohen has opted to retire.
Oh, okay.
So his, what?
Hoff couldn't help himself. Sorry.
I got the old, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not all that interesting.
I mean.
I saw Samini say
he's like the fourth running back.
Stunning.
Who cares?
Well, he was supposed to be special teams.
Kick returner.
Yeah, no,
that's true, too.
That was the idea, more so than running back.
With these new rules,
you'll see tonight.
What did they say? Why?
Just that's the thing. No idea.
I know he ruptured his Achilles after he ripped up his knee.
Samini wrote yesterday, he said how great he was feeling.
Yeah,
so they were stunned
about that
this news just came out.
All right, well, there you
What's
go.
Going on here? And they had it happen on Corey Davis, right, a couple years ago. Was that last year, Corey Davis?
Corey Davis did not play last year, correct.
Yeah, retired before the season, now Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
I do think less of an impact, but will you watch this game tonight, Jer?
No, I won't watch one. Jerry,
I would have put it on to see a series or two if Caleb Williams was playing.
He's not.
But no, they're not playing any of their first teamers.
What channel is the game on? Anybody know?
No idea.
I don't know.
Which streaming service do we have to sign up for tonight to watch this one?
Fubo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's all right. It's probably ESPN.
I only said that because Jerry said, as you'll see tonight, the new kickoff rules. And I was like, I'll see tonight? No, thank you.
It is crazy they're playing a game tonight.
It and there is no crazy. Baseball.
No, there's no Mets and Yankees.
That stinks.
Although you do have the Orioles and Indians, Guardians, excuse me. Well, I mean, it's relevant for the Yankees. Yeah.
Any Olympics going on tonight?
I'm not into it.
Yeah.
The Olympics stink.
I'm just
couldn't
not.
Pay me to watch
the golf
Olympics.
Is going on now, which is neat because you know who they are.
The Olympics are a disgrace.
I did watch the basketball yesterday.
Disgrace. What's going on at the Olympics? Disgrace.
Are you talking about the boxer?
I'm talking
the
about everything.
Oh, okay.
Disgrace.
Got it. Disgrace.
Okay.
It's a disgrace.
I'm not into it, so it's
you
fine.
Know, I was thinking about that. I know we got to get the update. Like, my son's 9, my daughter's 8. Now, we're all old enough. When we were growing up, we revered the Olympics. Like, it mattered. Like, I'm not saying that you sat there and watched every single event, but the imprint on the Olympics as for young kids, it was palpable. Like, I remember 84 in L.A., and whether it's track and field, and I just remember snippets from my childhood. My kids, and we are a sporting home, as you guys know, they don't even know what the Olympics are. I haven't put it on for 1 second. It is such a farce and a joke. Now you have... duty update.
And get out.
You watch the Olympics
like
at home?
That, just,
the family watch you up?
It's ridiculous.
The Olympics?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
no,
the Olympics, and we're sports fans.
It's like everything. There's too much to watch, and that just doesn't make the cut for me.
To his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. BT and Sal on the field. We'll get to the Jets coming up in a little bit. We're working some baseball as well. It's fun to be in for Evan and Tiki yesterday during the afternoon show. We had Brian Cashman on, so we could talk about that as well, BT, for our regular listeners here during our time slot that maybe didn't hear it or get a chance to find out about that. We could talk about that a little bit later on as well. We're talking about the Giants so far today. And it's not that I don't believe in them, because I do. First of all, I want to root for the Giants. That is very clear after watching Hard Knocks. I root for the Giants anyway, but just to see them in Hard Knocks, very likable group of people, not just Shane and Dable, but everybody else.
Ownership, I agree.
I thought they came across very well.
I agree with that.
So it's easy to root for, and I'm going to get behind the Giants this year, maybe even more so than normal. I just fundamentally don't agree with the way that they're building their team, meaning I would have preferred to put more of a premium on building the offensive line. In this particular draft, I would have gone up and tried to trade for Drake May. I know that they tried but didn't go all the way in. Sometimes that's what it takes to get the job done. You got to go all the way in. It's not a knock on Neighbors. And then there's some thought that, well, the offensive line is going to be the best that Daniel Jones has ever had. Neighbors the best weapon that Daniel Jones has had. But yet their win total is what? You have it, BT?
I'm seeing 6.5 right here.
Expected win total 6.5.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that tell you that? And by the way, they trade for Burns. Like, I think their defense should be good.
I think their defense could be very good.
So if the defense is very good,
yep,
and their offensive line is better, and they have their best playmaker, all due respect to Saquon Barkley, Neighbors should be more impactful because of the better offensive line and because of the way the game has evolved, where a running back, you know, can be minimized in today's game.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pick. I mean, usage rate, I could start throwing. I mean, Saquon was used so much. He was a threat.
Right, but their offense did nothing.
I know. Like, I mean, anyway, finish your point.
My point is that, okay, well, if they have all these things in place,
yeah,
why is their win total, their expected win total, only 6.5?
Well, I'd have to see their strength of schedule. I mean, that kind of plays into it for a game or so. The division's tough. The Eagles are very talented, obviously very talented. Dallas, even though they always fail when it matters, Dallas is talented. The Niners are a beast out there. You know, the NFC's pretty interesting.
Doesn't mean they can't exceed it.
Well, what was their projected win total in 2022?
Right.
It wasn't good. I don't know.
I mean, it might have been similar, but also it's not like... Now, again, whether you exceed it by a couple of games, usually those things are within a couple of games. But could they far exceed it? Sure. I do feel like 6.5 is extremely low.
It's low. There's a couple that are like 4.5. So let me ask you
Matter
this.
Matter of fact, I probably will take the over.
It's close.
Just for rooting purposes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, yeah, of course. I thought you meant real money. I mean, I want to see if, you know, is it plus one? Is it minus? I mean, are you laying? What's the juice on that?
Yeah.
If we're going to actually, you know, get into that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, that's sort of weeds.
Usually the juice on those things are bad.
Yeah, well, that's why I'd like to see what it is. Like, if I was going to bet that, I'd want to see what it is. All right, so let me ask you this way. Let me incorporate the Jets for one moment here, all right? So the Jets right now are over 9.5. All right, so Do you think it's more likely that the Jets, who most people perceive to be very good, and despite them being the Jets, and most people perceive the Giants to be down, is there a greater chance, in your opinion, that the Jets win fewer than 9.5 games or the Giants win more than 6.5 games?
I think that's a great question.
Let's go. It's football season.
For the record, I will probably bet both overs just to have the action and want to root for both. Okay. And it gives you a little extra, you know, extra juice there. So if I had to pick both, I would go over.
I'm talking about money that's going to dent your account and have you chasing for for 5 weeks. Where's that money going? Jets under Giants over?
I cannot put that money on the Jets to go over 9.5. 10 wins is a lot, especially for this group. I mean, all kidding aside, when was the last time the Jets won 10 games?
I think it was Todd Bowles', I believe it was Todd's first year, if I'm not mistaken, where they lost that last game down up in Buffalo.
So think about it.
And didn't make the playoffs. It was Fitzpatrick, I'm pretty sure.
One thing goes wrong. And again, if I had to bet it, I would go over, but I could not. If I was forced to bet one, I'd probably take the lower win total and hope to exceed expectations even with it. Like, what did the Giants end up with last year? How many wins did they have last year?
Six or seven?
Yeah. So think about it. Everything went wrong for the Giants last year. I mean, they had to go to Tommy DeVito to be their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went wrong for them. They're better on paper this year. And even if certain things go wrong for them, they still should be able to get to bare minimum where they were a year ago. That's why I would go.
Here comes the first mush. You ready? I think that is easy money with the Jets.
Oh boy, you're asking for it. Can you imagine you and I going through another year together of just extreme disappointment for the Jets?
No.
Me neither. Like, I really do. I just hope that, like, nobody. Okay, we don't need Super Bowl, although that's what we want, sure.
Well, speak for yourself.
No, I know what you mean. You take somewhere in between Rodgers going down on the first play of the game versus Super Bowl. Like, just give us a season, go to the playoffs, have some excitement, have some possibilities.
Jets' schedule is pretty easy, too. And I know it's the easiest, the old win loss, dog, win loss. I get it. But, you know, outside of that Niners game to start, I mean, there's a chance that the Jets rip off 5-6 wins in a row. I mean, look at the schedule.
And what do you think they end up with? I feel like we did this.
I think the Jets are going to be 12-5.
Okay.
12-5-ish. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
And I'd say the Giants for me right now.
Giants are going over the 6.5.
I'd say 7-10. That's what I feel.
Let's paint worst case, though, for each team. Or not even worst case, just like significant injury. Like if to whom? Well, let's say Daniel Jones. Let's start with him. If Daniel Jones misses significant, not the whole year, but let's just say he misses time. Do you think that impacts the projected win total significantly enough?
No.
Me neither, right? So that's the point. Let's say Jones goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll still
Drew Lock, DeVito. Piece something together.
I still think they should be able to piece something together to get to seven wins.
In the neighborhood.
Whereas if Rodgers misses...
It's curtains.
You see what I'm saying? More has to... Now, it's a higher number, obviously, so it makes sense.
And better with Tyrod, better equipped to win than with Zach Wilson.
Certainly.
But like,
still.
Even if Rodgers were to go down for the whole season, I still think the Jets are... The last game of the season, I think they're playing for something. They got a lot of talent, man. I know it's a dangerous thing to say because, they always hurt us. I mean...
I know, you have to believe
it. The Jets' talent is really, really high.
And that's the only way to say it. Their talent going into the year, like, who knows how it's going to pan out. Same thing we say for the Giants' offensive line. Okay, well, their offensive line on paper seems improved. Neighbors, the best weapon that Jones can have. Everything seems to be improved. Bringing in Burns should make for a better defense. Will it play out? That's the key.
But I start with this, right? When you look at both teams, I say, all right, is there a viable path to win the division? And for me, with the Giants, the answer is no.
Right.
And for the Jets, the answer is yes.
Well, viable, because you could say if it were just the Cowboys, maybe. If it were just the Eagles, maybe. The fact that it's both, odds are you're not going to be better than both those teams to that extent. Whereas the Jets, are the Jets the favorites to win the division?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they're right there with my. I think they're co-favorites maybe with Miami.
That's going to be nasty.
That'd be good.
Jets-Miami is going to be back
fun.
On. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Mitchell's in Queens. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey guys, how you doing? Good morning. BC, I thought you made a real good point before about one of the most important positions in the NFL of that tight end position. Like, if you look at what George Kittle and Sam Laporta specifically have done for those two offenses, and they help them out so much. Now, granted, those are teams that are stellar franchises and that they hit on picks outside the first round, which actually makes you a good team.
but there is nothing that replaces in the modern day NFL of a guy who you can rely on for 70 balls, who can break tackles and make stuff happen in the passing game.
It's amazing, and it's a good point. And Mitch, thanks for the call. You know, I've said and I've joked, but man, it's not really funny. It's more painful admission. Like, there's two NFLs, really. There's the NFL that we've been subjected to watching the Jets and the Giants for the last 10 years. And then there's the fun NFL.
Right.
You know, where you bet the over and you have, you know, five or six fantasy players. I got this running back. I got this receiver. I got this tight end. I've got this quarterback. Like, the Jets and the Giants, not only have they not won, okay, but they have been so pedestrian.
They can't move the football.
Oh, my God. How many times do you look up? It's 7-3 like that. Bang. Just snap your finger. First half is over. Tick, 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 run.
It just feels like an impossibility to score a freaking touchdown.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways that changes, back to the way we started the show, is you draft somebody like Malik Nabers.
I do think that as far as that aspect of things, we as a New York football fan base should have much more entertaining games, to say the very least. Because far too often in the last, you know, 5, 10 years, whatever it may be, non-competitive on Sundays. And you can't even score.
I know, dude.
Sean is in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
How are you, Sean?
What's up, bud?
Pretty good, man. I think the Giant... I got a couple things if you guys don't mind. I think the Giant win total is at 6.5, mainly because it's Daniel Jones. Whatever he does is basically boom or bust for the Giants. Because I do believe they really did have a plan and address the O-line. Because they actually got three new starters now because they signed Van Rotten from the Raiders as well. So now you got your whole right side has continuity because Illuminor and Rotten is going to be probably right tackle and right guard, and then Runyon to go with Schmidt and Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Giants did make a couple changes, but the projection is because we don't know what Daniel Jones is going to do.
Right, but that's my point, Sean, and thank you for the call. So you could talk about great offensive line. You could talk about the big weapon. This is, to me, the best thing about this season with the Giants. After this season, there should finally be no more excuses for Daniel Jones because I'm tired of it. I've been tired of it for literally years, tired of talking about Daniel Jones and arguing with Giant fans about is he good, is he not. There are no weapons, no offensive line. Well, there is no excuse. Can we all at least agree? Let's all come together and agree. No more excuse. The offensive line should be better. He's got the weapon in Nabers, the big weapon, amongst others. You know, Wandell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, whatever it may be. This is it, right?
I hope so.
How could it not be?
It's got to be. It is. That's why they set the contract up the way they did.
And you could kind of get this feel by watching the Hard Knock Show or even just common sense. Like, they are like, all right, basically, here you go.
Like, they said it.
That's what I mean.
They said it straight up. You know, no disrespect, but it's business. They were looking.
Right. But if we couldn't do what it takes to get that quarterback, here you go. We're gonna build the offensive line the best that we could.
Yeah.
Whether it works out or not, who the hell knows. But on paper, everybody's in agreement now that the offensive line's better and should be good enough. No more, they didn't do an offensive line help for Daniels. Let's see it. And they have Nabers. So let's see what happens.
I appreciate their transparency because, you know, don't tell us what we know. They were honest. And, you know, they're looking for a quarterback, but they're not going to do anything dumb or short-sighted, and they didn't. They looked into doing something that they were intrigued by. The asking price was through the roof. They deemed it cavalier. That's what smart teams do. You got to know when to jump in. You got to know when to walk away. And, you know, next year we're sitting here. Do I think Jones is on the team? I don't.
Well, I don't even want to say I hope that that's the case. If he plays well, maybe he deserves to be here. I don't know. I don't know if I could take much more of it. But at least if they have success, that's fine. You got some breaking news, Jer?
Yeah, something like that. I saw my guys over at ML Football breaking that Tariq Cohen has opted to retire.
Oh, okay.
So his, what?
Hoff couldn't help himself with this.
Yeah, I got the old, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not all that interesting.
I mean...
I saw Samini say
like the fourth running back.
Stunning.
Who cares?
Well, he was supposed to be special teams. Well,
kick returner.
Yeah,
that's true, too.
That was the idea, more so than running back.
With this new rules,
correct, that you'll see tonight.
What did they say? Why?
Just that's the thing. No idea.
I know he ruptured his Achilles after he ripped up his knee.
I think Samini wrote yesterday. He said how great he was feeling.
Yeah,
so they
I
were
read
stunned
something about that.
That this news just came out.
All right. Well, there you
what's
go.
Going on here? And they had it happen on Corey Davis, right? A couple years ago. Was that last year? Corey Davis
did not play last year.
Yeah,
correct.
Retired before the season. Now Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
I do think less of an impact. But will you watch this game tonight, Jerry?
No, I won't watch one. I
would have put it on to see a series or two if Caleb Williams was playing.
He's not.
But no, they're not playing any other first teamers.
What channel is the game on? Anybody know?
No idea.
I don't know.
What streaming service do we have to sign up for tonight to watch this one?
Fubo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's all right. It's probably ESPN.
I only said that because Jerry said, as you'll see tonight, the new kickoff rules. And I was like, I'll see tonight? No, thank you.
It is crazy they're playing a game tonight.
And there is no baseball.
No, there's no Mets and Yankees.
That stinks.
Although you do have the Orioles and Indians, Guardians, excuse me. Well, I mean, it's relevant for the Yankees.
Any Olympics going on tonight?
I'm not into it.
Yeah.
The Olympics stink.
I'm just not.
The
golf is going on now, which is neat because you know who they are.
The Olympics are a disgrace.
I did watch the basketball yesterday.
Disgrace. What's going on at the Olympics? Disgrace.
Oh, you're talking about the boxer?
I'm talking about everything.
Oh, okay. Disgrace. Got it. Disgrace.
Okay.
It's a disgrace.
I'm not into it, so it's
I was thinking about that. I know we got to get the update. Like, my son's 9, my daughter's 8. Now, we're all old enough. When we were growing up, we revered the Olympics. Like, it mattered. Like, I'm not saying that you sat there and watched every single event, but the imprint on the Olympics as for young kids, it was palpable. Like, I remember 84 in L.A., and whether it's track and field, and I just remember snippets from my childhood. My kids, and we are a sporting home, as you guys know, they don't even know what the Olympics are. I haven't put it on for 1 second. It is such a farce and a joke. Now you have this duty update.
And get out.
You watch the Olympics
like
at home?
That, but
the family watch you?
It's ridiculous.
The Olympics?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, no, we're sports fans.
It's like everything. There's too much to watch, and that just doesn't make the cut for me.
Yeah.